It's Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferris. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up, a new set of education recommendations were the focus of a recent bipartisan meeting in the state capitol. We'll talk to a public policy expert about what the future of education could look like here in Wisconsin.
First, it's been a busy week in Washington as President Trump nears his 100th day in office amid a tug of war between lawmakers as the GOP tries to make good on campaign promises on health care, foreign policy, and tax reform.
Joining us now to recap the biggest stories from the Capitol is Scott Wong. He's a senior reporter for The Hill, focusing on House Speaker Paul Ryan and House Republicans. Scott, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
Well, let's start with, let's start with health care part two, Scott. Of course, there was the highly publicized non-vote on health care earlier. There's talk this week, members of the House Republican caucus there coming close to a deal. What are we seeing from them?
Well, that's right. We did see the original GOP health care bill crash and burn last month in a spectacular fashion. That bill appears to be back from the dead. Centrist Republicans have teamed up with the far-right Freedom Caucus and struck a deal to amend that bill. Basically, it would give states more flexibility and choice in deciding to opt out of certain Obamacare requirements. Now, Speaker Paul Ryan is saying, look, there's no guarantee that we have the 216 votes needed to pass this thing yet. We feel like we're getting close, but until we reach that threshold, we will not bring this to the floor. And so right now, the Freedom Caucus, the conservatives, have signed on to this deal. They say they're prepared to bring over plenty of votes. They had been holdouts in the past, so now all eyes are on the moderates. And so far, many of the moderates are remaining quiet, saying they're still reviewing the details.
And, Scott, what do we know about how Democrats might be receiving this?
Well, Democrats are saying this is a non-starter from the very beginning. And so that's why this proved to be so tricky the first time, because Democrats said they would not provide any votes. They are in it 100% to try to protect Obamacare, prevent Republicans from trying to gut it. And so they are supplying zero votes for this repeal and replace effort, which means it's all on the Republicans and all on Donald Trump.
So that's a repeal and replace effort, but it's going on during this debate over a continuing resolution on spending, basically extending the current budget to keep the government open. And the health care plan, Obamacare, came up in that. This exchange deal, maybe more defense spending, Democrats say they'd sign off on in exchange for Obamacare subsidies. So what are we saying? This is a moving target, as I understand it. What are we seeing right now?
Right. If Congress does not pass a spending bill, the government will shut down early Saturday morning. That's when funding will run out. And so we are starting with just days to go. We are starting to see the contours of a deal emerge. Basically, Democrats have agreed to give Donald Trump $15 billion in additional military spending. That's about half of what he asked for, the $30 billion. And in exchange, Republicans and the White House say we will continue to make payments on these Obamacare subsidies that help low-income individuals who are on Obamacare. And so that's sort of the deal that we're starting to hear emerge yesterday and today. Because the deadline is coming up so quickly, what GOP aides and lawmakers are telling me is that likely they will need a short-term continuing resolution, just a one-week bill to sort of bridge the gap as they finish off the final details of this agreement. And so we're likely to be talking about this spending fight well into next week.
But Scott, if the GOP doesn't go for that deal, that leaves the healthcare exchanges on the ropes, and who's on the hook for that if they falter?
Well, right now, it's unclear. Right now, Democrats are saying we don't exactly trust Donald Trump. Donald Trump and the White House are giving their word that these subsidies will be taken care of and fully funded. But there is some skepticism from Democrats. I heard from Jim Clyburn of South Carolina, the number three Democratic leader who is very skeptical of the White House and whether they will be able to live up to this promise. Obviously, Republicans, while they are making this promise, are also in another effort trying to gut the Obamacare health law in its entirety. So you can understand why there is some distrust between Democrats and this White House.
Scott Wong is with us, senior reporter for The Hill, looking at some of the top stories in national politics. Scott, before we move on from that continuing resolution, President Trump said, hey, fund the wall in the continuing resolution. Looks like they're not going to do that. What's the latest on the wall?
Well, that's right. We've been receiving a lot of mixed signals from the White House and from the president on this border wall. Remember, this was one of the top campaign promises that Donald Trump made. And basically, you know, last weekend, White House officials said we are insisting that money for the wall be included in this funding bill. But since then, Donald Trump has backed off and says maybe we can do this in September and punt it to the fall. And that really was a major sticking point that was taken off the table, clearing the way for the government to be funded. That was a big deal and a big sigh of relief on Capitol Hill.
We're talking to Scott Wong right now, senior reporter for The Hill, looking at the latest in national politics. And Scott, the entire Senate is going to be going to the White House to be briefed on North Korea by the senior administration, maybe Donald Trump appearing for a little while. How unusual is this?
It's very unusual. In fact, one of the lawmakers, Roy Blunt of Missouri, said the last time he could remember such a briefing where all 100 senators, Democrats and Republicans, went over to the White House was back in 2009 during the health care debate. And he actually said that these types of briefings are not very helpful. But, you know, obviously Donald Trump, this is on his turf, his territory. And he's trying to show leadership. He's trying to show he's being presidential in standing up to the threats, the nuclear threats from North Korea. And so I guess this is one way that he can do it. He's a man who understands the stage, how you stage things, optics. And so this is, I think, you know, this is somebody who understands television as well. And so we're going to see a lot of images probably out of the White House of White House officials and the president looking presidential as he discusses the North Korea threat.
Yeah, it seems like there's some confusion here. Is this really important and we're going to see some kind of big policy announcement, or is this just a flare for the theatrical and maybe a bit of a power move saying, no, you come to my place and I'm going to talk to you here?
Yeah, I'm not entirely clear what's going to come of this. Typically, these types of meetings are held in secure classified briefing rooms in the basement of the Capitol. There's one on both the Senate side and the House side that can accommodate these types of large crowds. So these are highly unusual, and you know, it's my sense that this is more theatrical, although obviously the threat from North Korea is very real.
Right. I mean, does this say something about rising tensions with North Korea, and no matter what the optics are, a serious situation?
Yeah, I mean, we're hearing about you know, military moving ships, you know, positioning ships in just, you know, outside of Korea, and obviously with the intention of protecting some of our closest allies in South Korea and Japan. It's, you know, we've heard from the president of North Korea, Kim Jong-un, that you know, he wants to destroy America, that he's prepared to launch nuclear attacks on this country. And we've also heard the rhetoric from this side, from the Trump administration and from the president, saying he's prepared to preemptively strike if he feels that this threat is very real. So I expect that we're going to hear a lot more rhetoric in the coming days on North Korea.
We're recapping the biggest stories in national politics right now with Scott Wong, senior reporter for The Hill.
You can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. Coming up, we're going to be talking about the president's outline of a tax policy, corporate tax cuts, substantial ones, along with some other tax cuts. What do you think of the president's new tax plan? What do you think should change? Should the tax code be simplified, taxes be cut, or are you worried about the impact on the deficit? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page. More coming up here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert, and we're picking up our conversation with Scott Wong, senior reporter for The Hill, and we're recapping the biggest headlines in national politics this week.
You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think of the president's new tax plan? A one-page document, I understand, but outlining major corporate tax cuts in particular. Do you think this is a good idea? Boost the economy, ultimately pay for itself, or are you worried about the impact on the annual debt? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
And Scott, what do we know so far about what's contained in President Trump's tax plan?
Well, we know a few details. Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin is calling this plan, saying it will amount to the biggest tax cut in American history. It's mainly aimed at trying to simplify the tax code, obviously something that's very complicated, something that includes tax breaks for dozens of types of entities. It's just become very convoluted over the decades. And so some of the specifics we know, it will cut top income tax rates from 39.6% to down to 35%. It will double the standard deduction for taxpayers to $24,000. One of the key items in this tax plan, it's going to lower the corporate income tax rate as well as the rate for small businesses from 35 all the way down to 15%. And that, interestingly enough, has drawn some attention because that would also cover Trump's own real estate firm. So we know a few details. One big detail that I think we're still waiting for is how this thing gets paid for. That's something Democrats are pointing out, saying, the math doesn't add up. Trump has not laid out exactly how he's going to pay for this entire plan. And so that's something I think more details will be trickling out in the days to come.
And you use the word trickling there, and the idea of trickle-down economics seems to be coming up here. And the idea that we're going back to the days of the Laffer curve, supply-side economics, these tax cuts will produce more revenue. Ultimately, the lower tax rate will still pay for itself. A lot of budget watchers saying that doesn't really work out that way in practice. What's been the reaction to that supply-side idea?
Well, I think it's been very partisan, the reaction. Obviously, Democrats and Republicans view tax reform in very different ways and view taxes in very different ways. That is correct. I think Republicans believe that, by lowering taxes, it will help stimulate the economy and generate growth for the country. I think the biggest challenge as we look at this legislatively is we had so many problems with the health care bill that was supposed to be a breeze, right? That was the number one priority for Republicans on the campaign trail. They campaigned on that. They won the election saying that they were going to repeal health care, and they stumbled and have had real difficulty in getting it, not only through the Senate, which is a much heavier lift, but through the House of Representatives, where they control a majority and where you only need a simple majority to pass things. So I think a lot of people are anticipating similar challenges in trying to get such a complicated issue through the House of Representatives and then, of course, through the Senate, where things are just a lot more difficult.
And Scott, Paul Ryan has his own ideas about tax reforms. It's kind of his wheelhouse. How does what he wants square with what the president is asking for?
Well, he is very he was very praiseworthy of Donald Trump and his tax plan today. However, there is one glaring difference between the Ryan tax plan and the Donald Trump tax plan, and that is that the Trump plan does not include something called border adjustment tax, which is a critical element of the speaker's plan. It would impose a 20% tax on all imported goods coming to the United States. It was a way for Ryan, essentially, to pay for many of these tax cuts in lowering some of these tax rates. So I think the devil will be in the details, whether Trump will be able to figure out how to make this plan balance. Right now, there's still a lot of open questions. And so far, Speaker Ryan, who is a big policy wonk and the former chairman of both the Budget Committee and the Ways and Means Committee, who knows this stuff inside and out, so far, for now, he is deferring to Donald Trump in the White House to take the lead on tax reform.
Some Democrats have been saying, we don't want to touch tax reform until the president himself reveals his taxes so we know how these changes would impact him. Steve Mnuchin said, not going to happen. We're not going to be releasing the president's taxes. Is this still a hot issue in Washington?
You know, it's I wouldn't say it's a hot issue in Washington. Where I would say it's a hot issue is around the country. When I was over the Easter recess when Congress was out of town, I was up in New Jersey at a town hall for Representative Leonard Lance, a moderate Republican. And the first question out of the gate at that town hall was, will you call on Donald Trump to release his taxes? And so lawmakers are certainly feeling the pressure from their constituents to get on board and join the call for Donald Trump to release his taxes. Leonard Lance, what he said was he supports the idea of Donald Trump releasing his taxes, but he does not think Congress should mandate that Donald Trump release his taxes. So there's a fine detail there.
And Scott, we have a question from a listener named David who asks, who's going to benefit the most from these proposed tax cuts and who's going to bear the brunt of the deficit? Do we have answers to that yet?
That's a tough question. I'm not a tax guy myself. But, I mean, if you believe the Republican philosophy, that this tax plan will sort of lift all boats, that it will jumpstart the economy, that it will, produce jobs, continue helping the stock market, continue helping the economy grow. And so that's sort of the argument that Republicans are making at the moment. It's hard to figure out how exactly, how exactly certain Americans at different income levels will benefit without seeing more details.
Looking at the latest national news with Scott Wong, senior reporter from The Hill. Let's bring in a caller on this tax cut issue. Tony is with us in Tomahawk. Tony, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What do you think?
Well, several things, actually.
Give us just one or two of them.
Well,
short on time.
When Kennedy said it's going to lift all boats, and Donna Shalala said, no, it's the latest one, the Reagan one, and the Bush ones are going to lift all yachts. The whole fiction of that the corporate tax rate is 35%, it isn't. It's effectively 25%. And a lot of corporations pay zero tax. And if that can't be said, then we're just not giving people the complete story. The other thing is that this is going to blow up the deficit. Absolutely. It did under Reagan. It did under both Bushes. And if Republicans are listening, two-thirds of the national debt are directly responsible to the Republican administrations. If you factor in the interest on the national debt, two-thirds of this $19 trillion is really from Republican administrations.
Tony, thanks for the call. And that effective corporate tax rate is an issue. We're seeing Republicans saying, or the Donald Trump plan saying, we're going to lower this tax rate, but we are going to cut these loopholes that are letting companies get out of paying taxes. It seems like it still adds up to a bigger deficit unless other offsets are found. Is that right, Scott?
Well, that's what's interesting about a lot of these plans that we're seeing from Donald Trump. He's talked about infrastructure, which is, a big spending plan. Certainly, this tax reform plan right now, it looks as though it would add to the deficit, although it has not been scored yet by CBO. But I think Republicans on Capitol Hill, at least the last few terms, have been very focused like a laser on spending issues. And it's very interesting to see how they are reacting to some of these plans that actually call for more spending and are actually increasing the deficit.
Scott, I want to look at one more story from this week before we finish up. Ivanka Trump was in Germany on a panel with German Chancellor Angela Merkel, other women leaders, and during that time she called her father a champion for families and got some boos and hisses from the audience. What was the point of friction there?
Yeah, I mean, I think wherever any of the Trump family members go, they are going to encounter protesters. She was invited by German Chancellor Merkel, whom she got to know during Merkel's recent visit to the White House. They actually sat together at an event, and so Merkel, invited Ivanka Trump to come out to Berlin and join in a women's event. Obviously, you know, the backdrop of this type of event and the reason why there were boos and hisses, I think, is that Trump has had a lot of questions about his treatment of women, especially that emerged during the campaign in light of that 2005 Access Hollywood tape that surfaced on the campaign trail in which he was openly bragging about inappropriately touching women. And so those questions continue to swirl above the president. And Ivanka Trump is seen as somebody who is sort of a moderating force on the president. And I think it's very deliberate that she's out in public as sort of an ambassador for not only, the White House, but for Donald Trump himself, in a way that shows that he values women, that he values women's opinions. And the White House has been very quick to point out that Trump, during his real estate days, had many female executives who he promoted through the years. And so that's something that they're highlighting as well.
We'll leave it there for now. Scott, thanks for joining us again.
Okay, thank you very much.
We've been talking to Scott Wong, senior reporter for The Hill. He joined us for our regular Week in Washington segment when we recap the biggest stories in national politics.